Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Red meat is one of the most nutrient-dense foods on planet Earth. More so, this is going to get a lot of people out of, it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. It has more nutrients than vegetables. It has more nutrients than chicken. It has more nutrients than pork. It is one of the best things you can be eating.
What confidence is has nothing to do with winning or the leaderboard. What confidence is knowing that you giving your best effort is enough.
Greetings, Ben.
Hey, Patrick.
What's happening?
Not a much.
Doing something a little bit different today. We, in addition to this fine podcast, you also do another one for the gym specifically. It's called the CFNE Way, where once a week you sit down with one of the coaches over there, Dan, and he basically does what I do here, except for usually for gym specific things. But a lot of times the things you guys end up talking about are broad enough that I think that they're just as valuable for this audience as it is for the 400 plus members you have over there.
Completely agree.
And recently you guys have been doing a series of sort of like rapid fire, lightning round nutrition questions. And so what I wanted to do today in this episode is sort of do a mashup, take a lot of those answers that you and Dan sort of had over the last couple of weeks and sort of throw them together in one episode. So that's what today is. But before we do that, one question I have for you is, I'm always sort of, I don't know why I continue to be surprised, but every time you and I talk about nutrition or hear you talk about nutrition, I always forget how much of a nutrition nerd you are. And I think it's because I think of you as, you know, the CrossFit Games coach or the
I'm just
you
kidding. Know, the CFNE owner. You just call me a nerd.
Like you are a nerd. Yeah. In a good way. In a very productive way.
It. Yes.
So my question to you now, before we sort of get into the rapid fire questions with Dan, is I know you've been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm curious where, if you were to point people to some resources, some places, like where did you start to like gather all of the information, gather all the stuff that you know? I know it's taken you 10 or 15 years of learning, of reading, of paying attention, but is there a place, are there places that you could sort of point to and say like, those were the sort of the seminal places or those where I would, that those sort of is where I would suggest you start?
Okay. It's a great question. It's a big question. Where do you learn about nutrition, especially today, where it's like you click on the internet, you go on WebMD and
I've heard of this internet.
Oh
before.
My gosh. Yes. The interweb is a very strange, mysterious place. So in this sea of confusion, you know, like where do you point to a trusted resource? And that's one of the things that's really, I think, unique and special about nutrition because nutritional science is so darn hard, right? It's to actually do a new, all science is based off of studies. Like you have a hypothesis, you study it, and there's a conclusion. Well, when you are studying nutrition, there's a lot of things that you're up against. Like most notably, it has to be over a very long time period, right? Like you studying how you respond to food for 20 minutes doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So you have to gather these subjects for a very long time, hopefully decades. That's really hard to do. That has to be over a big sample size. So hundreds of people. So you're not just studying this small subset. Then from there, you have to control what they're eating for a very long time. I mean, like the complexities of that are just enormous, right? And then are you truly controlling for other factors? Because what about the other environmental and activity levels and hereditary? You know, I mean, so it's hard to find out what's true in the world of nutrition. So the way I've done this is try and find some sources you trust.
Yeah.
Right. It's like who lines up and who do you trust? It's like what the Joker said in the first Batman. It's like, I'm giving away free money. Where's the bat guy? Who do you trust? And then he poisons everybody. So I'll kind of walk through my kind of evolution, and there's a lot of like stop offs along the way here, but the first nutrition book I ever read was when I first became a personal trainer. My mom handed this to me on my birthday. And it was a book by Michael Pollan called In Defense of Food.
Okay.
And that kind of set my whole thing up, right? And it's, I liked Michael Pollan's approach because to me, he didn't have an agenda. It was just, here's what's going on. And he wasn't out like to say like, you must eat paleo and then because of that, green beans aren't good. Or you must eat zone and because of that, you know, if you don't weigh and measure, you're going to go to hell. And if it's like, it was like, he didn't have an agenda for behind any of it. It was just like.
He was just trying to find some
truth. I like that. Yeah. So Michael Pollan, that was my first book, In Defense of Food. Then it's Omnivore's Dilemma. And then he wrote Food Rules, which is this really kind of nice, really short, easy one, like a Cliff Notes version of it. So that's where I went first. From there, I was exposed to early days of CrossFit. People will love this. Rob Wolf.
Yep.
Rob Wolf was the CrossFit nutrition guy. Very paleo side of things. Was not an advocate of weighing measuring whatsoever, but he has a lot of good stuff. And, you know, you shouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Just because he doesn't weigh and measure doesn't mean he's a really smart dude. I've continued to read his stuff from Paleo Solution was the first book. I thought it was okay. Wired to Eat is his most recent one. Thought it was phenomenal.
Oh, good.
Really good. He also did a really good podcast with Joe Rogan. Yep. Worth listening to for sure. The next one after that I kind of fell into was Gary Tobbs, who wrote Good Calories, Bad Calories, and then which is like, good luck reading it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Just don't even start reading it. Mm-hmm. Instead, skip over to reading the other book, which he wrote because he realized how hard it was to get through Good Calories, Bad Calories, and read Why We Get Fat.
Yep.
Much more digestible. No pun intended. But that's where I went to the next one. And then from there, I've kind of gotten in this world of like the deep dives, right? Of like the gut microbiome and real like nutrient deficiencies and how food plays a role in autism and autoimmune disease and all that stuff. And that's kind of the functional medicine world. And the go-to source I have for that one is Chris Kresser. Really dry kind of voice. He has a great podcast, but it might put you to sleep. But the content is incredible.
Yep.
And a great website as well. Right up to you could become a functional medicine coach through his institute, which is the Kresser Institute. You go on his site and it's going to expose you to this web. So you can take a huge dive in through there.
Gotcha.
Obviously there's everyone else doing the gut microbiome stuff and blood analytics and sweat analysis and all sorts of everything else that we're doing. But those are the kind of the four things that set me on my trajectory. So it might be a nice place for maybe other people find. The one leads to another rabbit hole, right? And that's what the whole deal is how deep do you want to go down the rabbit hole?
Awesome. Okay, let's dive into the rabbit hole a little bit and go to your answers.
So we, on our CFNE Twitter account, we went out there, we polled you guys. We said, hey, what questions do you have on nutrition? I made that up. We don't have a Twitter account, but today is like lightning round of nutrition questions.
Ooh.
Maybe we should get a Twitter account. I don't even know how to tweet. But we have something even better, which is a piece of paper in Ben Bergeron's mind. Question number one. Ben, what supplement do you feel is overused?
Whey protein. Are we going to do like this? Like, am I going to go like that or should I get backup?
No, we can. We'll say like, we'll limit it. Just that's it. All right.
I give backup to
what
it.
What is 6 times 4?
24.
No.
I had to think about that.
That's good.
Okay.
No, let's get backup.
Okay. So maybe I'll keep them like under a little. I'll be quick.
Yeah.
Whey protein is good. It's not the end all be all. And people are using it throughout the day, and it shouldn't be used throughout the day. The reason it's good is because it's absorbed so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's a post-workout thing. It's not the thing to have when you're making a shake, when you're walking your dog in the afternoon, or you're trying to fill some. That's what casein protein is for. Casein protein will keep you full longer, and more will get absorbed in the muscles. So if I had to say one thing, I'd say whey protein, because people are using it all the time when it's just a post-workout thing.
Mm-hmm. No way. What supplement do you feel is underused, if there is one?
Creatine. Do you want me to go into
it?
Creatine, it's one of the most researched supplements there is, and there are no known side effects. Your body produces it naturally anyway. You get it through food. There's no side effects. Now, there are people with intolerance. It's just like there's people that are intolerant to eggs or grass or whatever, some people, but there are across the board, it's a totally safe and it's incredibly powerful to create more powerful athletes. And some people might be like, well, I don't want to get more powerful. In the 96 Olympic Games, we're in Atlanta. I don't know why I know this stat, but there was 98% of Summer Olympians took creatine. Mm. It's if you're an athlete, you should use it unless you are a super endurance athlete, in which case you want to shave off every microgram off your body as possible.
Shave off your hair too.
Biggest part of your arm should be your elbows, that type of deal. Right. If that's the case, then I get it. But otherwise, if you are an athlete, you should be taking creatine.
Creatine monohydrate.
Creatine monohydrate, no matrices, no complexes, no blends, no fancy nothing. 5 grams a day. Don't need to load it. Don't need to go off of it. Don't need to worry about meal timing.
Cool. Only side effects is gains. Ben, what's cod liver oil and why do you drink it?
Okay. So cod liver oil is essentially it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the liver from the fish cod. And the reason for it is twofold. One is the essential fatty acids. You see this in like health food stores, like EFAs, and you see here the buzz about it. Essential fatty acids are DHA and EPA, and there's big long names that go along with it, but those are the abbreviations. Those are the really beneficial fats that do a lot of good things for you, your health, your longevity, and all sorts of hormonal functions. It's like the mechanism for everything else to run off of. Mm-hmm. It's really important that you have a high quantity of that. And there's the correlates between people that have high levels of EPA and DHA to the health and longevity that they have is phenomenal. The second side of it is forget about the essential fatty acids. And just in terms of like nutrient density, it's one of the most nutrient dense foods on the planet, meaning the most vitamins and minerals. So if it was just one of those things and not the other, it'd be reason enough to have it every single day. But the fact that it's both, it's phenomenal. Also, it's like a staple. It's a commonplace that every kid in Iceland has it. And Icelandic men live longer than any other males on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. The females live the fourth longest of any females on planet Earth. And they happen to sit on the top of the podium at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah.
And it's like the way that we give kids cereal, they give their kids cod liver oil. It's literally every single day, every single morning. Not in quantities.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of like the regular routine of the way it goes.
You came over to my house and just cracked it like it was.
That's what I drink straight out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was wild. That was really cool. Ben, I don't like veggies, but they're okay in shakes. Am I getting the same benefit? Asking for a friend.
Okay. So there's the first thing we have to clarify, is it a shake or is it juiced? If it's a shake, yes, you're getting the same. That's not a big deal. If it's juiced, no, you're not. Juicing is not good. Don't juice. So if you're getting it, if you're listening, not watching, Dan just flexed when I said juiced. Yeah. The second side of that, is it as healthy to get it from a shake? Mm-hmm. Yes, but the thing that you have to be careful of is getting too much. Yeah. So there's things, believe it or not, that are not advantageous for us in things like spinach or arugula or kale. Like those things have things that are broccoli. There's things in those things that aren't great when you have a lot of them. So what you gotta be careful of is people can very easily overload those things when they juice, when they put them in a shaker or a blender. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have put them in, put a handful of spinach in the shake. Totally cool.
Yeah. This is a question for myself because I eat a lot of red meat. How much red meat is too much? This is a personal question.
Very individually based. So if you are a person that has high cholesterol from a genetic standpoint, maybe something you want to limit. If it bothers your gut, maybe something you want to limit. But really interesting, red meat is one of the most nutrient dense foods on planet Earth. More so, this is going to get a lot of people out, and it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers. It has more nutrients than vegetables. It has more nutrients than chicken. It has more nutrients than pork. It is one of the best things you can be eating. Now, the sourcing matters. So you just got to make sure you're getting it from a good source. But if you get a good grass-fed cow, like, probably hard to do too much of it.
That's what I wanted to hear. Obviously, there's a good, like, balance of those omega-3s to omega-6s in grass-fed meats.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can't afford grass-fed meats, obviously, like, they tend to be a little bit more expensive. What is the next best option for those?
Okay, so what you're talking about is omega-3 versus omega-6. Correct. And EPA and DHA are omega-3s. There's a whole bunch of omega-6s, which are the pro-inflammatory fats. These are the fats that we want to stay away from. Vegetable oils and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Processed foods, you know, Hostess cupcakes, things like that, have a lot of omega-6 fatty acids in them.
Correct.
The goal is to try to keep those in line. Now, it's next to impossible unless you're eating fish every single day and you have no processed foods. That's one of the reasons that we supplement with cod liver oil is to bring that up closer in line. And we're looking to be somewhere in a 3-to-1 or a 2-to-1 ratio of 6-to-3. So we know we're going to have more 6. We're just trying to bring the 3 up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do with that. The best way to do it, though, is not necessarily just try to bring the 3 up and up, up and up, is to lower the 6.
Gotcha.
If you eliminate bad oils and processed foods, you're doing that. So the way to get it in is not necessarily, you don't need to, what's the question?
If like buying grass-fed meats versus
you can't buy grass-fed beef and you can't get wild-caught fish, bring down processed foods. Mm-hmm. And you're bringing that ratio in line. The crazy thing is the average American Western diet is closer to like 15-to-1 or 20-to-1, and in severe cases, 30-to-1. If it's 30-to-1, you have no shot. You are going to be sick in the not too distant future.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring that down and hopefully bring the other one up.
Cool. Ben, I have a race coming up. I don't. Hypothetical question. I have a race coming up.
Yep.
Do I need to carb load?
No. Because what most people do before the race is they taper. They lower their activity level. As you lower your activity level, you're not burning through as much glycogen as you normally would. You are by default carbo loading. Having said that, your body can only store so much carbohydrates as it is. Mm-hmm. Anytime you load the carbohydrates, you're just going to store it as fat, get you sluggish, feeling bad. Don't carbo load.
Cool. No more pasta potties, kid. Pasta potties? That was wicked Boston. Intermittent fasting. So a lot of it is like you have that 7 o'clock dinner. You don't eat until 7 the next day. That's like 12. Like what's intermittent fasting?
Yeah, there's a few different ways to do intermittent fasting. There's a lot of different ways. But basically what intermittent fasting is as small as skipping a meal. So what most people do is they'll have dinner and they'll skip breakfast and they won't eat again until lunch. That gives them somewhere between like a 14 to 16 hour fast. There's a lot of good things that can come from that. Basic one being allows your body to kind of like get out of this post-digestive elevated blood sugar state and find homeostasis and let it do its job and create a little more insulin sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing it does, which is just shorten up the eating window. So instead of eating for, you know, from 7 in the morning to 7 at night or 10 o'clock at night for some people, you know, that 12 to 15 hours, you're shortening it down into essentially an 8 hour window. Because of that, people eat less calories. Less calories matters. Mm-hmm. It's not the most important thing, but it does matter.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about like staying hydrated and things like that. How much water does the average person need in a day?
Okay, so the average person only needs to drink until they're not thirsty. That's like saying how much food does the average person need to have? And someone being like, you and the food companies, the water companies, i.e. Coke and Pepsi, who own Dasani and Aquafina, they're the ones that are telling you need more water, period. Now,
big H2O.
You don't need, you know, the 8 glasses. You don't need the 2 Nalgene bottles. You don't need the 1 gallon of water. You need to be drinking to the point where you're not thirsty. Now, having said that, most people are thirsty because they're not, you know, I'm going to say this kind of on two ends of the spectrum. You don't need to be the college kid that walks around everywhere with a water bottle. Like that's a new thing. Like that didn't used to happen, but you also need to drink enough to make sure that you're not thirsty. If you're thirsty, same thing, like you shouldn't be walking around hungry all the time. You eat when you're hungry, you drink when you're thirsty. Now, if you are an athlete, you have to drink more because you sweat more and you are more likely to, I'm even hesitant to use the word dehydration, but because it's, you have to, it's not that big of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what people, Gatorade's told you, it's a huge problem. And all these water companies are telling you it's a huge problem. It's not. Dozens of people die every year from hypernatremia. That's too much water. Almost nobody dies in the United States from dehydration.
Yeah.
It just, it's just almost... And but when they do, holy cow, does it make the news?
Mm-hmm.
Because We want to hear, the companies want you to hear that. So that kid that died from dehydration in, you know, Texas doing 2-a-days in football practice in August, we're going to make sure we hear about that one.
It's pumped up. With
but
the, yeah.
But the four people that die a year from hypernatremia doing marathons, we don't hear about those ones. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say don't drink water. I'm not going to say drink when, if you're thirsty, don't get thirsty, but you don't need tons of it.
Cool.
Your body does operate though. I mean, you want to be hydrated. You want to enough. Your body is an electrical system. It's electrical currents that run through you. Water is conductive. It works on that. It also synovial fluid and the pliability of the muscles and your joints and the better all that is lubricated, mm-hmm. that, you know, it matters. It's just not as much as we've been led to believe.
Mm-hmm. Stay lubricated, my friends. On the basis of
moist.
Yeah. Heard that 5 to 6 small meals a day is good for you.
They're gonna say 5 to 6 glasses of wine.
5 to 6 glasses, bottles, yeah. Glass bottles of wine is good for you. I know we talk about 3 to 4. What's the difference between small meals or those normal
size meals? So the theory behind the small meals was and is, if you have a little bit, your body doesn't have to work hard to get through it. You won't spike insulin as much. Your blood sugar doesn't rise. And you can constantly burn it up. It's like putting a little piece of kindling on a fire. It's like, and you put it in the furnace and it burns up and uses up energy. And it burns up as energy.
Yep.
You like the sound effects? Yeah. If you have a big meal, the theory is that you're putting a wet blanket on the fire.
Yep.
And it'll burn through it, but it's got to work really hard. Now you get sluggish and bad things happen. That's everything. Mm-hmm. There's two schools of thought to that. One is that. The other one is that if you're constantly fueling yourself, you have constantly elevated blood sugar. Every time you eat, your blood sugar rises. Mm-hmm. So if that's constantly happening, you're never letting your blood sugar drop down. You're constantly, your metabolism is going, but that might not be the end all be all. That might not be the winning state. The other side of it is 3 square meals a day, which gets a little bit, it's not intermittent fasting, but gets to that school of thought where I'm gonna eat until I'm no longer hungry. And then I should be, as a human being, I should be able to go 3-4 hours without eating until my next meal. So if you do that and you eat at 7 in the morning, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, okay, we're there, we have lunch, and then you wait and then you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you're at dinner. Human beings should be able to do that without having these crazy hunger pains in between. Mm-hmm. If you are having them, it usually is an indicator that, one, it could be that your metabolism is crazy and you work out 4 or 5 times a day like some of the people here.
Yeah.
But it could be that you've just become really, really carb dependent, where your body is just burning up and it's looking and screaming at you for more. And that's more of a habit than it is a hormonal actual real reaction that's a hunger thing.
Say I'm getting my 4 meals a day, or I'm hitting my macros and I'm doing that, and I still feel hungry all day. It's like, what do you do in that scenario?
Okay, so there, great question. So I like what you prefaced it with. I'm getting in my macros, I'm getting my 4 meals a day. What you're saying to me is you're eating enough, mm-hmm. but you're still hungry. You might not be hungry. It might be a craving, which is coming off as a hunger. You might be thirsty, which is coming off as a hunger. So what I would do is you have to really decide, or you have to really kind of work at figuring out, is this truly hunger because from lack of food and nutrients, or is this something that I really want? And it can come off as hunger. So I've told the story a number of times about myself where I trained, it came to the habit where my stomach would growl an hour after I ate dinner. That to me, that tells me I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. It did it last night, actually. This happened last night.
Ooh.
Crazy. So I finished.
Punctual.
I finished eating dinner. An hour later, my stomach is growling. It's like, what the hell? How am I hungry an hour after eating 1,000 calories? Mm-hmm. I have big dinners. It doesn't make sense. And it's because I'm not hungry. But it comes, my stomach growls out loud. But what it is where's the sugar? And the reason is, this hasn't happened in forever. I went away on vacation.
Hence the missile.
Yeah, I went up to Miami with friends and I didn't eat clean. My body got some taste of sugar.
Yep.
And because of that, these things that haven't happened, literally, I haven't had this in 2 months, came right back. And in my mind, it's like, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, because my stomach's growling. I'm not. but it comes across as that. So to answer your question, you have to fight it. You have to break the habit. Now you can do that a bunch of different ways. You could trick the habit part of the habit loop, the routine part. You know, there's the cue of hunger, there's the habit, and there's the reward of eating something tasty. You could trick it by doing something else, like doing push-ups, meditating, going for a run, or you just willpower through it, or you try and switch it, which is like why smokers go to hard candy instead of smoking cigarettes, and change it to something healthier than what you've been doing.
Cool. I think that's all the time we got today.
Oh my gosh, that was so not a rapid round.
I know. It's all right.
I failed that epically.
It's okay. It's all right. This is part two of like an infinite part series.
Okay.
So I got a lot. I have a lot more questions.
Oh, good.
So yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back. But we got to run next door. Ben, thanks so much for coming to the office. That's the CFNE way.
We shake at the end. We should do this.
I'm in an office. I need to shake a hand.
All right.
That's the rule.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrea Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at Beachbody.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. Start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.